This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala afdalil khalqi ajma'in, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in, wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to bless all his companions and to bless every single one of us and our offspring to come up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy and his blessings upon us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into paradise after forgiving our sins and our shortcomings. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, sisters, dearest listeners, this evening we completed the 26th part of the Qur'an. And in this 26th part, there are several surahs, commencing with Suratul Ahqaf, named after the sand dunes or the sandy mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah makes mention of how important it is for us to respond to the call whenever we are called in the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a beautiful incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that there were very few people accepting the call. And I'm sure over the days we have heard about how even at the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was there for 950 years calling his people. And a number of only 11 to 80 accepted the message in more than 9 centuries. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us guidance and to make us realize how He has gifted us by guiding us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there was a time when some of the jinn kind happened to listen to the Qur'an. They were passing by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they happened to listen to the Qur'an. Listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in Suratul Ahqaf. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Do you remember the time when we turned a few of the jinn towards you listening to the Qur'an? They happened to hear the words of the Qur'an. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا. When they heard this Qur'an being recited, they told one another, keep quiet, listen attentively. Al-insat in the Arabic language means to listen and to try and understand. Listening attentively. So these jinn were completely taken aback by these powerful words of the Qur'an. Listen, let's try and understand this. فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. When the recitation was over, when it was up, they went back quickly to their people, to their nation, warning them about what? Allah says, Ya qawmana, they said, O our people, O our nation, listen to what we have to say. Inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa. We have heard a powerful book which was revealed after the time of Moses, may peace be upon him. We have heard a powerful book, musaddiqan lima bayna yadayh, which confirms the message of all the books, the heavenly books that have come before it. Imagine the jinn are confirming. Yahdi ila al-haqqi. The book guides to the truth. It guides to that which is correct. Wa ila tariqin mustaqim. And it guides to a path that is upright. A path that has no bends in it. A path that will lead you straight to Jannah. So these jinn kind told their own people, told their own kind, that this is what we have heard. Listen to the message. Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. O our people, O our nation, answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Answer the caller who is calling, and this call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn towards it, make haste, subhanallah. And they continue to say, if you follow and you believe, it will save you from a severe punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us savior from the punishment. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the gift of Allah. one of the greatest gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bestow on myself or yourselves is when He has granted us submission to Him. When He has made us from the submitters, from the Muslimin, from those who can adopt the heavenly message of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the biggest gift. Today we are sitting as Muslimin, mashallah. If we think, ponder over what we have, wallahi, it is the greatest gift. The greatest gift that we have. And this is why a dua is made mention of in Surah Al-Ahqaf, where a person is encouraged to make this dua as they grow older. What is the dua?
رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
This dua we should be reading every day several times. O our Rabb, grant us the ability to be thankful to You for what You have bestowed upon us and for what You have bestowed upon our forefathers. And O Allah, grant us the ability to do good. Grant us the ability to do good that will please You, Ya Allah. So we are asking Allah to grant us the ability to be thankful and to grant us the ability to do good. And we saying, O Allah, make my offspring good as well. I have indeed turned to You and I am from the submitters. What a powerful dua. We're making dua for ourselves, thanking Allah about what He gave our forefathers and asking Allah, give us the ability to be thankful, give us the ability to do good deeds. Also, make our children who come after us pure and good. What better dua can there be? And we are telling Allah, we have submitted, surrendered, so therefore grant this to us. That is a powerful dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how such a person's rank is raised, those who make this dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant it to us. The next surah is named after the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name in Surah Al-Fath. But in this particular surah, He says,
فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
You should know that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, the Creator, the One who has made absolutely everything. He is the only one that we will put our head on the ground for. The only one we will render acts of worship for. Whoever created me, that's who I worship. I do not risk the acts of worship by rendering them for anybody besides the one who made me. So as Muslimin, when we saying Allahu Akbar, we are actually saying Allah is the greatest. Who is Allah? Allah is the worshipped one whom we worship because He created us and made absolutely everything. So that is who we render our acts of worship to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this. Also, in the opening verses of Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of His name.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ.
Those who believed and do good deeds and believe in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones who are successful and so on. And in this particular surah, Allah describes heaven. And heaven has a description, paradise. We're talking of paradise. We have mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks of the description of heaven.
فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ.
We made mention of this a few nights ago. In heaven is that which no eye has ever seen. So if your eyes have seen the most beautiful of stuff or the most beautiful of items, in heaven is even better.
وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ.
No ear has ever heard about. That's divided into two categories. Whatever beautiful sounds or voices you may have heard in heaven is better. And whatever descriptions you may have heard in Jannah is even better.
وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ.
And in heaven, in Jannah, is better than that which has crossed through the hearts of people. Nothing in heaven would have crossed through the wildest dreams and desires of any human being. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Imagine what must be in store for us. Now He gives us a glimpse into this and He says,
مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون.
He gives the example of the paradise that is prepared for those who are conscious of him. He says,
فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسٍ.
In it, there are rivers of pure water that has the same taste, that pure taste of water, no difference in the taste, and it will never be bad. Now one might say, well, we get water here. The water of Jannah is absolutely different, totally different. The river bed will not be the soil of the dunya. It will be whatever you want it to be, subhanAllah. If you want your river to flow in the air, it will be in the air, subhanAllah. And you own it. You own the river. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, not only a river of water,
وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ,
and rivers of pure milk. Milk that has a taste that will not change at all. Because someone might think, well, if there's a river of milk, it will go bad after a few days. So Allah says, no, its taste will never change. It flows. Pure milk. Imagine if you were to see a river or a lake of milk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say,
وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ,
rivers of wine, various types of wine, sweet for those who are to drink it. Why Allah says those who are to drink it? The hadith says, whoever drinks the alcoholic drinks in the dunya will not have a taste of it in heaven. Meaning when they go into the akhirah, presuming they are forgiven and they head into Jannah. So one might say, but Allah says in the Quran, in Jannah you can have anything you want. Allah will remove a certain cord where you won't ever want it. Subhanallah. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't ever desire for it. You won't know that you're missing out on anything. But those who haven't drunk would want it and they would drink it and they would enjoy it. Subhanallah, in the akhirah. This is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. And this is how we join the two verses. One verse which says, فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنْفُسِ, in Jannah is that which you will desire, you will get. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you have drunk alcohol in the dunya, you won't have it in Jannah. Not because you are going to want it and you won't be given it, but you won't even get to having thought about wanting it, because the cord, as I said moments ago, will be removed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to comprehend even a slight bit of His greatness. And Allah says, to end, the most beautiful,
وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى,
and rivers of dripping honey, subhanAllah, flowing honey that goes into the river. And as I said, the river bed is not the soil. It may be complete, it may be in the air. And Allah says, when you are in your palace, that palace, as you look down, you will see the river of your choice. This is only an example of what Allah has in store. But there are rivers of whatever you'd like. You think about it and it's there. And as you are thinking of the honey, you will be able to taste it. And as you are tasting it and you think of something else, the taste will change. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding that the fact that we've mentioned this already means that in Jannah there is better than this. The fact that we've succeeded to speak about it already in Jannah, there is better than this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so now, if you would like Jannah, turn and start working towards it. Why are we not working towards Jannah when we've heard the description and we all want to go there? Allah says, what are they waiting for?
فَهَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً.
Are they waiting for the hour to come suddenly? Allah says,
فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا,
the signs have already appeared. The signs of Qiyamah. Let me inform you, one of the clearest signs of Qiyamah was the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the final messenger. Why is that a sign of Qiyamah? Because after every messenger, they waited for another messenger. The minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a messenger and says, this is the final messenger, it means after this, it's the end.
So that itself was a sign of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand. So many prophecies given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding what will happen towards the end of time. Believe me, almost all of them have occurred. The minor signs have all occurred. We're waiting for the major signs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. And as I said, the trumpet shall be blown upon the worst of creation. Even if there is one human being saying, Allah, Allah, the trumpet will not be blown. And for your information, the hadith says, the trumpet has already been taken and the breath has already been taken. And what they are waiting for, the angel is waiting for just the instruction to blow. That's how close we are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. And may He save us from the doom of that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that makes mention of the Qur'an. Because naturally He's telling us there is Jannah, there is paradise. We'd better turn before it's too late. Here Qiyamah, all the signs are there. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we've sent you this book.
أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا.
Are they not going to try to understand the message of the Qur'an? Or are its locks on their hearts? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can read the Qur'an and try to understand the words of the Qur'an. So powerful that the biggest enemies of Islam who tried to understand it have already turned to Islam. Starting with the likes of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and the others. Take a look at the others who were not necessarily enemies, but the moment they heard a few verses, they began to weep. Look at Najashi, the Negus of Abyssinia. He began to weep and he accepted the message immediately. With us, subhanallah, a question needs to be asked. And that question is, if one verse of the Quran could move people who were enemies of Islam, we are Muslims, not one verse, not one surah, but we read khatam after khatam and we haven't yet been moved. Why? Because we haven't tried to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They understood one verse. It was enough to move them, to shake them up and to wake them up. With us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the Qur'an. And the message of the Qur'an, which will naturally lead us to the sunnah, which will lead us to the books of jurisprudence and so on, and to the law of the sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true Muslims. So that is also a message that we have here. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, giving us all a warning,
وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ.
If still you are going to turn away, we will eradicate you and replace you with others who will not be like you. They will turn to us and worship us. So Allah is telling us, He doesn't need us.
وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ.
Allah is independent.
وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ.
You are the ones who are in need of Allah for every single movement and for every breath and every pulse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So Allah is saying, if you are not going to turn, here's the message, it's loud and clear. Look at how the jinn kind turned. Look at how the others have turned. If you are not going to turn, we don't need you. We will replace you with others. And this is why when you find, subhanallah, in certain places, the masajid were built by people whose children, if they do not flock the masjid, you find expatriates come and they completely fill up the masjid. And what happens? You look and you think, but look, this masjid here, it's in our area. Where are our people? They went away, so Allah replaced them with someone else. It's not like a masjid is going to remain empty. That's the house of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. And we have so many people entering the fold of Islam. Yes, mashallah, it's a good sign, but we should be worried. It's a good sign if we are steadfast. But if we are not steadfast, it may be just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replacing us with others. Who will then worship Him? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us steadfast. And the next surah is the surah of the victory, Al-Fatah. Powerful surah. Very brief history of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to go to perform Umrah, and what happened is he prepared a group of his companions, and they went without any arms, without any weaponry, and they decided to enter Makkatul Mukarramah. They were stopped outside, and cutting a long story short, they were prohibited, and it resulted in a treaty being written. Prior to that treaty, what happened is one of the companions who had gone in, there was rumor that he had been killed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that we don't have any weapons and we need to retaliate. If one of us is killed, then we need to seek revenge here. So he pledged with all those companions who were under the tree, a certain tree, that we will go in and we will fight no matter what. We will ensure that we will fulfill whatever you utter, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent verses saying, I have become pleased with those who pledged that pledge. I am pleased with them. Allahu Akbar.
لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ.
Allah says, Allah has become pleased with those who pledged under the tree. And Allah knew what was in their hearts. So He sent a mercy into their hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a mercy into our hearts as well. And so they signed a treaty with the kuffar after finding out that that was just a rumor. And that treaty, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were feeling very hurt as to why it was signed the way it was signed initially. They felt, why didn't we put a little bit more in terms of clauses on our side? Because the kuffar, the disbelievers, told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then they told him, remove Muhammadun Rasulullah. We don't believe you are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove that. Another thing is, you desperately want to make Umrah, go back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just nodded his head, okay, write that, write this. Whatever they asked for, he said, okay, give it, no problem, we'll come next year. And it's okay, fine, we'll do this, we'll do that. And for so many years, for 10 years, we'll have peace. And he just continued to say, okay, okay. And the treaty was agreed upon. When they were leaving, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was surprised. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has happened here? We signed this treaty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses.
Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina.
As they were leaving, we have indeed granted you a clear victory, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba was surprised, but we've just given in to these people so much. And how can it be a clear victory? Allah knows, in 1 or 2 years, everything will come right. And this particular treaty will result in the spread of Islam, and it will result in them returning. And this is why we learnt even in Surah Yusuf that sometimes that which appears negative, if it was not for it, we would never ever have got to where we are today. Amazing. And this is why in the Quran, in many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes you dislike something, but it's better for you. Sometimes you love something, but it's worse for you. Sometimes you might disagree with something, but Allah knows that is what you had to go through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. So that is the fath. And the lesson we learn from that is that in our lives, we need to understand. We adopt the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we like it or not, it will be good for us. Obviously, we have to love it. But sometimes the situation right in front of us may seemingly be negative. It won't be. In the long term, we will achieve lots and lots of goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared huge rules in Surah Al-Hujurat. Al-Hujurat, named after the rooms. The rooms Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the companions how to address the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't address him like you're talking to one another. Respect him. When you talk to him, lower your voice. Don't start screaming his name from outside. That's very disrespectful. And when you talk to him, do not address him as though you are addressing one another. If you do that, your deeds will begin to perish without you even knowing. That verse is in Surah Al-Hujurat. And Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us how to live with one another. It is one of the most powerful surahs. It is a whole charter. Today we have the charter of the United Nations and so on. This is a charter of the mutual coexistence of Muslimin, whether with Muslims and even with others. And that is Surah Al-Hujurat. We should go out and we should read it. And we should understand it. It has so many instructions. Allah says, O you who believe. إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين.
When a person comes to you with news of a third party, which means they've come to you with either backbiting or with gossip, they've come to you with a story that does not concern you. By coming with that story, they have already become sinful. And when a sinner comes to you with such story, you should make sure you verify it and authenticate it before you allow it entry into your mind and your heart. Before you believe it, make sure you verify it. The Quran says why? Because if you believe it, you may then attack men unknowingly and you will regret as to what you did to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to authenticate before we believe. But even higher than that, to disregard that which does not concern us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do that. Then also in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how important it is for us to understand we are brothers.
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ.
Indeed, all believers are brothers. We are all part of one family, a bond. The hadith says, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَالْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ. The true believers are like one body. One body, إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُوْ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّى. If a single organ of that body is restless or is complaining of pain, the whole body will be restless. So Allah says, we as mu'mineen are one body. If one small person is complaining of something, we should all feel that pain. And this is why it is important to be happy at the happiness of your brother and to be sad at the loss of your brother. We're saying brother, but we mean brother in Islam and sisters as well, or obviously all included. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us, لَا تَظْهَرِ الشَّمَاتَةَ لِأَخِيكَ فَيَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَبْتَلِيكَ. Don't ever be happy at the loss of your fellow Muslim, because Allah might have mercy on him and test you with the same test. A few years down the line, they'll laugh at you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make that happen to us. Never ever be happy when someone is at loss. We need to feel the loss. And we need to make dua, Ya Allah, help him. Even if we haven't got on with him, and even if he might not be in good books with us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the pure heart. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu,
O you who believe,
La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, asa an yakunu khayran minhum.
None of you men should scoff at one another, at other men, because those you whom you are scoffing, they might be better than you. Then, it's a risk. And obviously, even if you were to joke about them, that despising already lowers a person's level. And Allah says, even the women folk, do not scoff at one another. Those whom you are scoffing at, they may be better than you. How do you know? They may have deeds that Allah knows. And this is why in Islam, we never judge a book by its cover. Never. You have people who might not appear to be physically good Muslims, but they might have one deed that Allah loves so much that on the day of Qiyamah we'll find them in Jannah before everybody else. It's possible. Then we might have a person who appears to be extremely religious, but because they did not protect their deeds, those deeds were given to someone else. Because of backbiting, because of gossiping, because of malice and jealousy and pride and so on, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in these verses,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu jtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann.
Oh, you who believe, do not suspect one another. Stay away from that suspicion which is bad.
Inna ba'd adh-dhanni ithm.
That suspicion where you are doubting a fellow believer with no evidence is definitely a sin. It is sin. Sinful to doubt one another. For what? And Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ. Don't ever spy. Don't ever spy on one another. For what? Everyone has their own secret between them and Allah. They know that they have repented. And they know how much water they are swimming in. What makes us a god suddenly that we want to spy in the private life of this person and that person? In Islam, that is prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا.
Don't backbite about one another. Don't even talk behind their backs that which is the truth. That is the meaning of backbiting. If we are lying, it is worse than backbiting. If you are to speak about someone behind their backs, the truth, which had they been present, they wouldn't like it, that is called backbiting. By you uttering the words, you have already taken the sin on you, if it is a sin. And if it is not a sin, you've given them a good deed from your records and placed it onto their shoulders. You may have just lost your salah and your fast and your zakah and so on. May Allah protect myself and yourselves. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, learn to understand one another. Learn to love one another.
Ya ayyuhal nasu,
O people.
Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا
O people, we have created you from a single source, from one male and female, and we have kept you thereafter in different groups and tribes so that you can know one another. That is the reason why we are different colors, different sizes, different dialects, different places, different areas. Not so that one can feel that they are higher than the other, but so that Allah has created this collection of difference. We can understand one another. We can relate to one another. We can recognize one another. If every one of us human beings looked alike, maybe we would need number plates on our foreheads. Because if we all looked exactly the same, what would happen? How would I recognize you from someone else? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Look at the beauty of Allah. This is why some are tall, some are short, some are big, some are small. Because Allah has created different inclinations in the different mindsets. Because some people might be inclined towards a female who is tall and marry that one. And someone who is short and marry that one. And someone who is big and marry that one. And someone who is small and marry that one. So no matter what looks Allah has given you, thank Him. Someone somewhere, inshallah, will have been attracted to it. And here I'm talking in terms of marriage. I'm talking here in terms of marriage. Sometimes people look in the mirror and they say, now I don't know what's going to happen. Who's going to marry me? And you know, as it is, I'm this and I'm that and I'm big and I'm small. No. These comments are ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never say that. Allah will open your doors, have mercy, meaning Allah will have mercy on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many other aspects in this particular surah. I'm not going to go through all of them, but let's move to the next surah, Surah Qaf. A very powerful surah where Allah describes the creation of the heavens. And Allah says,
أَفَعَيِّنَا بِالْخَلْقِ الْأَوَّلِ
Do you think we got tired when we created the creation in the first place? Because people think Allah got tired. Allah says,
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ
We created the skies and the earth in 6 days. We did not get tired. Dare anybody say that the Creator gets tired. He has to just give the command, be. And it is. Subhanallah. So Allah says,
أَفَعَيِّنَا بِالْخَلْقِ الْأَوَّلِ
Do they think that we have got tired by the initial creation? So now they are doubting that we are going to resurrect them.
بَلْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِّنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ
They are doubting that we will resurrect them, bring them forth once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. In these verses also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the control He has. He says, I created you, O man. Do you know that I am closer to you than you are to yourself? This is what Allah says.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ
We are the ones who created man.
وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ
We know the whispers deep within that man. Deep within the soul, when the thought goes through you, Allah says, we know that. We know it. That's how close we are. And He continues to say,
وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ
We are closer to man than his own jugular vein. We are so close. Then Allah says,
إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ
The two angels have received him, one on the right, one on the left.
مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ
Anything he ever utters, he will find an angel taking a correct record of it, ready to take that record immediately. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, oh man, don't think you're going to go very far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you utter words, then the angels have written it down. The only way that that will be erased completely is through repentance. When a person repents, even the book is wiped out, erased, complete. The hadith says, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah." A person who has sought forgiveness from a sin is equivalent to the one who has never had a sin at all. Allahu Akbar. Look at how beautifully that's worded. If we have repented from a sin, we become equivalent to those who've never ever sinned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. What mercy, subhanallah. And these are the nights of mercy. It is important we make this dua. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. O Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive us, ya Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of His mercy for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the person will arrive on the day of Qiyamah. Vivid description, hair-raising description. Allah says,
وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ.
On the day of judgment, every person will be driven by one angel who will drive, who will lead the way, and another one standing as witness, ready to bear witness against the person. Subhanallah. Everyone will be taken into the courtroom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, driven, one, an angel leading the way, and the other, an angel ready to bear witness to say yes or no. This is what happened and that's what happened and I am a witness. And this is only one element of the witness. Allah says, there are so many witnesses, including your own body parts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. When we are forgiven, then remember, even the witnesses will forget completely, according to the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same surah,
يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مَزِيدٍ.
On the day when Jahannam will be getting full of people, we will call out to Jahannam asking it a question. O Jahannam, are you full? Is there space? And Jahannam will answer saying, are there any others? Bring them. We can still put them in. There is still space. Allahu Akbar. Remember, when people are roasted, let's not use the example of people, let's use the example of something else. When you have a pot and you put in vegetable, mashallah, it appears to be full. Cook it. After a while, it settles down at the bottom. There's absolutely very little left. All the liquid is out, everything is gone, and now it's all sitting at the bottom. You can add more vegetable and wait for a little more of a while. Imagine when human beings will be thrown into Jahannam, may Allah protect us, into hellfire. Then what will happen is, Jahannam will appear to be full, but it won't be. So Allah knows that. But for people who might be getting excited, thinking that now Jahannam is full, we're not going to go there, Allah says, we will call out to confirm for them that there is more space for all those who need to go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a turning point. Remember in the Quran, whenever the hellfire is mentioned, Allah also speaks about heaven. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following surah says,
إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ.
As for those who are conscious of Allah, they will be in gardens full of springs gushing, different types of springs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of who they are. They are the ones,
كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ.
At night, they used to sleep very little. Because they used to get up in salah when everybody was asleep and they used to worship their creator. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ.
In the pre-dawn hour, they were always engaged in repentance, seeking forgiveness. Remember we made mention of the hour when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out saying, هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I can forgive? That is the hour that we call the hour of tahajjud or of suhoor. Whilst we are having our pre-dawn meal in Ramadan, that is the time. Allah is calling out. So Allah says, those who say, yes, we are the ones who are seeking forgiveness, for them is this paradise. Allah says, wherein the springs will be gushing forth and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their wealth, they have kept aside a portion for the beggars and for those poor people who don't ask. So Allah speaks of two types of poor people. Allah says, there are two types of poor. One, those who come and beg. Allah says, there is a portion that the true believers give out to them as well. More or less, that is up to the person. But there is a portion in the wealth of the true believers set aside for those who don't come with a begging bowl. Because those are the true needy. Allahu Akbar. The true needy are those who struggle and strive to make ends meet, and they won't come and ask you. You might consider them rich. You might consider that they don't need, but they are in need. Allah says, those who are ready to take the time out to hunt for such people and have a portion in their wealth to give out to such people, for them is Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us on this night, and may He grant us really the acceptance on this eve. Until we meet again, صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.